Remember, Current State's pop-up stories happens Wednesday, September 9th, a week from tomorrow, at Lansing's Allen Neighborhood Center, similar to the Moth storytelling approach. And the theme that you storytellers should plan on is hungry and fed. So if hungry and fed, that's tied into the Allen's Neighborhood Center's farmer's market there, which will be going on. So if you've got a story along those lines, please plan to join us. Learn lots more on our Facebook page, Current State, at WKAR. We hope to see you there, if not to tell a story, at least to listen to them. I'm Mark Bayshore. The latest significant development in the Corser-Gamrat scandal occurred yesterday, and just moments ago, the committee to take the next steps was gaveled in.
The Select Committee to examine the qualifications of representatives.
It detailed evidence of misconduct. That is, the report revealed yesterday did detail evidence of misconduct. To review the basics and to take a look at where we stand today, we welcome back Capitol Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network, Rick Pluta. Hi, Rick.
Hello, Mark.
We learned last week that the report would cite wrongdoing or misconduct. What more did we learn yesterday, and how important was that?
It was a summary of sort of the collection of misfeasances, if that's a word, that Corser and Gamrat are ostensibly guilty of. And really, it outlines more a lot of deceitful behavior that you know, actual lawbreaking was pretty thin. That it's possible that they may have used taken constituent contacts and moved them over to a political database. There's an allegation that a Corser staffer, part of his job was to place online ads advertising Corser's law practice in Lapeer, but you know. Other than that, it was a behavior that was more unseemly than, you know, it was
illegal.
Mm-hmm. You know, the steps they took to cover up the affair, the treatment of staff as they tried to engage them in that particular effort. And the House report even sort of threads that needle of saying that these staffers don't really have a case against the State House of Representatives for wrongful discharge because they're at-will employees, but at the same time, they were misused by Corser and Gamrat in the course of their time of working for the two lawmakers.
This new committee is wasting no time. It began work this morning. How will it mm-hmm. operate?
Well, it was a very short meeting this morning, and what they did was they, you know, had an organizational meeting that they outlined the rules, what's going to, what's going to happen next. There's this question over subpoena power that at the moment the committee does not have the authority to, order witnesses to appear and make them testify under the penalties of perjury, although the committee chairman, the Upper Peninsula's Ed McBroom, thinks that there are some consequences if someone were to come in and basically lie to the committee. I believe the next meeting is now going to take place next week when the State House returns from its summer break, and the first order of business will almost certainly be hearing from House Business Office Manager Tim Bolin outlining the findings of his report and maybe adding some more detail to what we've already heard.
One final question: Have you been able to gauge the reaction to the report more broadly?
No numbers. The question is, if it comes to expulsion, can you get to the 72-73 votes that you need in the House of Representatives, a two-thirds majority? That's your audience. That's who they would be trying to persuade in that. Some people saying that this is a pattern of unseemly behavior that's brought disgrace on the House. Other people saying, you know what? A lot of what we're seeing here isn't too terribly different from what we see in a lot of legislative offices. Mm.
We will keep an eye on it, and we want to thank Rick Pluta, Capitol Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network in downtown Lansing right now. Thank you, Rick.
Oh, you bet, Mark.